Let's do this. I'm so excited. Back to our roots, you know what I mean? It's like, we don't want to be those guys that started up a podcast, then made a web series, and then never went back to that, you know, where they were most successful.
Potty roots.
We can't deny that there's been a huge hiatus.
I'll deny it. If anyone calls us on it, we've been doing the podcast this
everything.
Whole time.
You've denied the Holocaust. You've denied the Treaty of Waitangi.
I denied the Treaty of Waitangi?
Specifically, Māori's, how Māori were lied to.
Well, see, this is crazy. All I was going to do was suggest that we'd been doing podcasts these few months and listeners just haven't been tuning in.
What we've been doing is we've been working hard on this episode.
Yes, this is, and that's why this is going to be such a rich, delightful, nuanced
episode.
You guys
have no idea what you're in store for.
Surprises, twists, turns, shocks, laughs,
and
songs.
A celebrity wedding.
Oh, who's getting married? Adam Rippon.
Oh my god.
And Chris Parker.
Like, isn't it amazing when you get a new icon?
Yeah.
Like a gay icon. It's like, move over, Tom Daly. We've found Adam Rippon.
I'm a little annoyed at him because I watched him on Ellen and he was really funny. Like, he was like dishing out the jokes and the delivery was on point.
You're annoyed because you're jealous.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. I'm just like, how can you be that good at ice skating and also be one funny motherfucker?
And have such a cute butt?
Yes. Well, that comes with being good at ice skating, I think.
Yes.
Because all them, when you ice skate backwards, I feel like your butt is like, lifts.
I'm high. Like, the best thing you can do for your body is ice skate backwards.
And that's why every morning I put on my skates, I head down to Western Springs.
And I hit the rink.
I hit the rink.
It's amazing. Like, I reckon there'll be a whole new, like, you know how CrossFit is designed by, like, watching sports and stuff, and they're like, oh, we could do that, and then you could get a hot body. Like, there'll be all these new CrossFit exercises that are all just like ice skating, figure skating moves.
Yeah.
You've got like these machines that like fake it.
I'd love to see some super buff, super max guys just like skating backwards across
doing
the
that thing where you go down on one leg and spin like super fast.
How amazing was it that pop, like, this was the first year that you could put like any music on and people went all in.
Yeah.
Moulin Rouge soundtrack.
That's so funny. That's were you living for that?
I was living with that version of Roxanne. Is oh, and that's we're going to talk about movies in this episode.
Yes.
But first we'll play the theme tune.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase. It's the male gaze. They're both male. And they're both gay. The male gaze.
And welcome to the first episode of The Male Gaze in 42 years.
I'm now, I couldn't do the math, 60, no.
No, older.
Oh, seven, I'm in my 70s.
You're in your 70s and Jeez. You look amazing. Because you've been moisturizing.
I'm in oil.
Really? Rose hip.
Rose hip.
That's why I look so old now.
How are you, Eli?
I've been really well.
Thank you so much. Listeners at home, not you, Eli, you can get screwed. For waiting so patiently for our return. I mean, they might have all deleted us off the podcast.
Yeah, maybe you've unsubscribed because you were like, well, if you're not going to dish it out, I'm not going to turn up to the serving station.
To the buffet. What can we promise? We've promised that we're going to be delivering a hot web series very soon.
We filmed it all at the moment in the room that we're in. It's being ingested is the word.
Yeah, it's like if it's Jurassic Park, like it's in its egg still, and it's in that weird warm incubator.
But we've put all the genetic matter together.
Yes,
and then it's gonna hatch, and you guys are gonna be like, "Whoa,
wow, yeah!" And then it's gonna be like, "Okay, we need to sort out this web series problem," and then the web series is gonna start taking
it's gonna
over
break
humans.
Out of its cage. Yeah, and it's gonna start eating people,
and then you're gonna have to kill it.
Yeah. And then 10 years later, you're going to be like, well, should we try it again? And that's the story of Jurassic Park. We want to talk about movies today. Oh, should we? Well, we'll do our traditional things.
No, we should state the theme.
The theme of this wonderful little podcast is gay cinema.
Cinema.
Gay cinema.
Gay enemas.
It's gay enemas. We've both had them. And
we're going to review.
Yeah. Mine, painful, and I don't think I don't know if that was an enema so much as it just was a
So many straight hose. Dudes are like so keen to get an enema done. I'm like, you just want something up your butt.
Yeah, you just
like,
want to feel something
just
up your
put
butt.
A finger up there.
I guess I was thinking of like straight male comedians doing these stories where they're like, oh, the doctor checked my prostate. I just would, yes. Unless I would love one of them just to be like, and it felt good. And I went out and bought some butt toys and now it's part of my normal play.
I was literally thinking about this the other day, about like comedians doing prostate, getting their prostate exam check.
Yeah.
Jokes. And I was like thinking about how I'm going to be when I get my prostate checked.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be a pro.
Oh, so
I'm going to be like, open sesame. Yeah. You just say the word and she'll open.
I'm gonna be giving him tips. I'm going to be like, curve your finger a little bit.
But you just need swipe access. Here's a card.
Swipe you in. Beep. Boop.
And then it opens up.
Beep, 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 beep. That's when you can't get in.
That's when you go.
Swipe access to my file.
We're going to talk about gay cinema. Why? Because Eli and I got free tickets to a gay movie, and then it just inspired.
I should say they haven't given us any extra cash, but we want to still promote it because we loved it.
We basically want to brag that we went to one carpet
premiere
event.
We got, and there were toffee apples, which and was free hot dogs.
Like, no shade to the. Like the 17-year-old organizing this event, but that is literally the worst snack to eat during a movie.
I loved my toffee apple.
No, it was loud, and then it was mainly eating an apple.
I think it's yum. Also, it was funny that it was all like, it's all carnival themed, because there is one scene at the very end of the movie with
oh
carnival.
God, spoiler alert!
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway, the movie was Love, Simon, if you haven't guessed.
Oh, yeah.
And also, you've probably seen every LGBT influencer has been, sent gift packs, but we haven't got one yet.
Yet. I love that we've somehow made our way onto a gay PR list.
We went to see Mamma Mia.
Oh, yeah, we also...
2 nights ago!
That's the crossover, right? It was like... It was so weird when we went... So we went to this... Auckland Musical Theatre Society production of Mamma Mia. So it wasn't even a touring production. It's like a local group.
Starring local legend Jackie Clark. For international listeners, think of her as your Paula Abdul.
Yeah, a version of that.
Yeah.
Kind of. Oh, yeah, but I guess she was in a girl group.
She was in a girl group.
And was on an Idol.
And she judged it out. Yeah, she's Paula Abdul.
She is Paula Abdul. So
the girl who played Sophie in Mamma Mia, I don't know if she's a listener, but if you are, your voice is phenomenal. Talented. You're a star.
Meet us up. Let us be your agents because we can book you. Honestly, we think you are so talented.
Your range, belt, your
and
dynamics.
A vocally clear, very strong voice.
And energetic, your presence, you held it.
You were watchable out there. But what was crazy, so we're at the Bruce Mason Theatre, which is like, you know, over on the shore. And there's a lot of people there. Maybe... 1,000.
Yeah, I reckon.
I
performed stand-up there several times. And they've never opened the top floor up. But the top floor was full to the brim.
I saw that Pua Mugasiva was there because I saw him Instagram it. But apart from that, I was like, I think we're the invites.
We didn't get a photo on the red carpet.
We forgot. Yeah. But I was like, so why? Because we're gay, why have we made our way onto this list?
Literally, yeah.
I'm clueless, but it was a joy and a privilege to be there.
I had so much fun, and I haven't seen the movie. I've only seen parts of it.
Shocking.
I know, terrible, but I enjoyed this.
And there's a gay character in it. A very bad gay
character.
This
is one of those ones where it's like, the worst character is gay, and you find out in the last 3 minutes.
It's definitely another note of the... I would say that is... One of the more obvious examples of the gay agenda slipping in cinema, of being like, what if one of Meryl Streep's husbands was gay in the movie? Colin Firth. You know, like, it seems, to me, unnecessary as a gay man, which is, like, pretty bad for me to say that. I mean, more gay characters in cinema, please. But it's like, he doesn't need to be
And
gay.
Also, he doesn't need to keep, why is he keeping a secret? I don't know.
And he was like, anyway, we let's do our own episode on Mamma Mia.
Chris, here's a flip. Chris is going to do the fact of the gay, and I'm going to do the queen of the week. I don't know if that's even a flip. Do you remember how things normally go? Because it's been
it's the upside
period.
Down in Stranger Things.
Yeah. It's been an ice age between podcasts.
Eli, what do you reckon is the highest? Oh, here's the fact of the gay. Does it have a jingle? I can't remember. Can you say right now what you think is the highest grossing LGBTQIA film of all time?
Okay. How gay does it have to be to count?
Well, okay. Alexander's on this list, and it's not the highest. Alexander is not the highest.
Not the highest.
But I wouldn't really classify that as a gay movie. But
no.
I mean, Alexander was... Is he bisexual or gay?
He's bi. Like, everyone in ancient Greece is gay.
You see Colin Farrell's butt in it. That's all I remember.
Oh, I'll get that out. Is that on Netflix?
I'm also thinking of Troy. You also saw Brad Pitt's butt in Troy.
But in Troy, they got rid of the gay story completely. I know that because, I studied classics, so I know all about every gay storyline. And in the Iliad, he's got in a full gay relationship. And then in the movie Troy, it's just his cousin. Patroclus and...
Okay, nerd, enough. But isn't it
crazy? Achilles. They love each other.
Those movies came out quite similar to each other, right, in time?
Yeah, they were close.
And it was a lot of pressure on me as a closeted, like...
Yes.
Being like... A closeted boy being like, I can't, like, the togas are too much, and like Brad Pitt and Colin Farrell are too much.
Hot bronzed men basically going camping together. They're just all intense.
With like their Aussie surfer hair,
and they get
weirdly
so naked in that movie. They get so like Isabella naked. Rossellini in Death Becomes Her naked. Anyway, damn. I reckon the highest grossing one. Oh, I was gonna say Brokeback Mountain, but is that higher than Alexander?
Brokeback Mountain's number four. I'm gonna.
The Birdcage?
Number one, baby!
Oh, amazing! Yay!
Oh, my God. $124 million.
Shit, that's pretty good. And it's an old movie as well.
That's his lifetime grossing. Its opening week grossing was 18 mil.
The Birdcage is so good, and Hank Azaria's character is so problematic in it.
Yeah, but how hot is Hank Azaria?
He's got a tight butt, eh?
Do you know what's interesting? It's like...
He got that figure skating butt.
People can be problematic, but then if they're hot, like, sometimes people will excuse them for it. Like, that's the sacrifice. You're like...
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, sometimes when you have a real honey and then they're problematic, it literally feels like R.I.P. Like, it's such a sad thing to be like, we can no longer love them because they're problematic.
Yeah.
Hank Azaria is one of those guys that, like, was a legend because he had, like, an awesome, bad Indian accent. You yes. know, like, and it was his... It's how he was popular at high school or whatever. And now he's, like, kind of careerless because... Is he still... I mean, he's
he
not.
He still voices 20 characters on The Simpsons. But they're slowly fading out, Apu. They're like...
That's so sad that narrative ends, but he's so problematic.
It's like, crazy that he's voicing that character this
long. I think any gay character... I mean, Smithers.
Smithers only came out recently. But there's been a few iconic gay episodes. Like when Homer takes Bart to the steel... mill, and then everyone's gay there.
Yes,
because he's trying. Homer thinks Bart's gay, and then he's trying to mask him up.
Heaven, I mean, sad, but
great episode.
Yeah, Brokeback Mountain number four, Imitation Game number three.
Oh, Interview with the Vampire. Imitation Game is barely gay. It's all about his fake relationship with Keira Knightley. It's nothing about.
I don't know what this list is. You know, like what they quantify it as a gay movie. Number two is Interview with the Vampire, which I actually haven't seen.
Is that gay or is it just homoerotic?
The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, that's gay.
Philadelphia's number six. In and Out number seven. Mm. The Crying Game number eight. Bruno number nine.
I mean, I feel like Brokeback Mountain is the only one in this whole list that has a... Oh, no, and The Birdcage. That has like a full-on gay romance at the center.
Moonlight is number 19.
Oh, I loved Moonlight.
Ballast Dyers. The further down, the gayer they
Ballast
are.
Ballast Dyers Club.
Ballast Dyers sounds like some old pensioner.
Where do you reckon Love, Simon will sit at the end of its reign?
Well, currently it's sitting at number 23.
It's not even open yet.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
That's pretty cool.
Well, it is open in the US. Its opening week, it made 11 million.
Oh, okay.
Currently it's at 23 million.
All right.
Call Me By Your Name, 27. So it's doing better than Call Me By Your Name.
I don't know if I liked Call Me By Your Name that much.
It's an interesting one. Like,
I liked the last half hour of
I would
it.
Definitely say if I wanted to go see one of those two movies again,
yeah,
I would see Love, Simon again.
Love, Simon is going to be like a comfort movie for me for a long time.
Do you reckon? I think like it really it was once enough. Like once was enough for both of those films.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Like a lot of those gay movies I don't want to watch again. Like... Weekend.
Oh yeah.
You know, I wouldn't like it's so amazing watching it for the first time. The experience is so rich. And then I'm like, I don't want to kind of binge on it again versus like a camp classic which I could watch 100 times over.
You've never seen But I'm a Cheerleader, have you?
No.
That's got a real like comfort movie factor.
But
that's
a campy classic.
Yeah, it is.
Versus like a kind of gay pull on your heart.
But yeah. It has a little bit of a gay pulling. She's like coming out during it. She does fall in love with Claire Duvall.
What if Xavier Dolan's films are in here at all? I haven't really seen any of them. Heavenly Creatures is on here. Oh, I guess.
That's pretty gay.
It's pretty gay, eh?
Oh, can I just say a huge congratulations to the country of New Zealand for getting a movie on that list.
Yeah, that's cool,
that's very cool. And also to my beautiful city, Christchurch, where we were both from, where those murders happened.
And shout out to the woman who was gruesomely murdered by her daughter and her friend. Thanks for helping us get on the list.
Oh, that was some edgy content. Do you want to hear who your queen of the week is this week?
Please, roll out the red carpet and get out the paparazzi.
Over here.
Your Highness.
What are you wearing? You're going through. Because like
she's
a royal.
Fucking queen.
Okay. So, the queen of the week is a queen for doing something which was, I don't know if it was offensive. I thought it was, it made me laugh for so long. Stephen Hawking is dead. And post his death, someone called Kirstie Alley. You can follow her at Kirstie Alley. She's verified. She's got over 1.2 million followers.
Does she?
She tweeted a black and white photo of Stephen Hawking that said RIP on it. And what she wrote above it was, "You gave it a good go, ... Thanks for your input."
It's truly shocking. And it made me laugh a lot when I saw that. And I retweeted it immediately.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking now, though, I'm pretty sure she's a massive Trump supporter.
Is she?
Yeah. I'm sure she's like really problematic. I need to fact check this.
She's a massive Scientologist.
She's
maybe
like off the charts, a little bit crazy.
Her Twitter is very aggressive. I think she's tweeting bad things about some of these teenagers who are campaigning against gun control.
Oh, mate. Yes, she is a Trump supporter. I'm pretty sure. Maybe or maybe not. I'm just looking at a tweet now which says, congratulations, Trump.
Oh!
Against all odds, against the establishment, and even against most of the GOP, you did it. That's when he...
Oh my God.
When he won the election. So, I mean, a contentious queen of the week, but you know, even the queen herself is contentious.
I mean, the whole monarchy is contentious, isn't it? I think she's anti-vax or anti.
Maybe the most problematic woman of all time.
Here's a crazy tweet. If he lived today, he would have been on 5 psych drugs by age 3 and institutionalized by age 6. ... Poor Einstein.
What is she doing nowadays? She seems like the nation's... She's like the world's problematic stepmom.
Yeah.
Who like says stuff that you don't agree with.
And who's just...
But you kind of like because she's a bit tragic.
She's just doubled down, you know?
There's this interesting thing with like tragic women and gaming kind of adopting them as icons.
Yeah.
But I think we've got to be careful when we're like, oh, you also are evil.
A horrible person. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
But she can be definitely a queen for the week. For this week,
I think we can enjoy,
because I love Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Oh,
I love her in the Olsen Twins film. What is it? Double Trouble.
The New York one.
The other one.
What was she originally in? She's in Look Who's Talking and Look Who's Talking Too.
What's that?
The one with the animal. So the first one is like
the babies. No,
the babies that talk.
Yeah.
And then the second one is their pets that talk.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if she's a human being on it or a voice of one.
Our
of the
producer
pets.
Sending us a really important note about Kirstie Alley, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
Cheers! I've never watched that.
Neither.
But Fraser.
Who cares? Let's talk more about Look Who's Talking.
What movies do you think turned you gay?
Definitely The Wizard of Oz. Remember in like an episode far, far back, for those super good fans out there, when we had a You Could Tell moment.
They were all far, far back now because the last one was months ago.
We got our mums to give us You Could Tell moments, and mum was like, well, you watched The Wizard of Oz a lot. So I reckon it would have been that film for me. But when I think, my relationship with that film is really intense and quite earnest and sincere.
Yeah.
It's basically the Bible for me. Like, it's one of the most sort of religious scriptures that I can think of. Like, when I think of the iconography of Wizard of Oz, I get kind of goosebumps.
Who are the Munchkins and what's their role in the religion of the Wizard of Oz?
They're the devil. No, they're Satan. No, I mean, for me, like, Dorothy is kind of a Virgin Mary. You've got Glinda the Good Witch. She's sort of a kind of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, true.
She's got her, maybe the Munchkins are the disciples.
Oh, yeah.
The kind of leader on the right path. It's like, there's just like the ruby slippers, the Emerald City, all the kind of the weird line of Tim, and they just seem so pure to me. When I look at them, I'm like, yes, that I identify to that, and that gives me faith.
How do you think Renee Zellweger is going to go in her performance as Judy Garland?
Oh my God, I was literally, I'm so glad you brought this up. I was literally looking at photos of this today. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
She
I love her.
Flawless in Chicago. And
Renee Zellweger in Chicago is one of my favorite
performances. She gives such a good performance. And then I was like, yeah, she's an amazing musical theater, like musical movie performer as well. I love the story of Judy Garland. I mean, it's so tragic. It's that thing again of men just becoming obsessed with like kind of tragic
women.
And
this is, the movie is set end of her career, right? Isn't it her like last
concert
before
she died? Yeah, it's
right in
the peak. Oh my God, she's going to be so good because Renee's kind of dizzy as well.
Yes.
And Judy was basically high for from like age 14, kind of.
When Renee took her hiatus, which I feel like having just taken our hiatus, I connect with strongly, and then she came back with Bridget Jones's Baby, I was so worried for her. And then when I watched that movie, I was like, girl,
you know what you're
doing.
You
came through, you still got all the skills, all the charm.
Yes.
She definitely, I was quite obsessed with her from pretty young, because when did Chicago come out? 2003. So I was like 14 and being like, she's a great actor.
You know how everyone was like, her face changed, like, because she, after her hiatus, she came back looking slightly different.
Yeah.
I kind of thought her face changed between Chicago and Bridget Jones. And I feel like maybe she's just a very malleable performer.
That's because she, first of all, Chris, Bridget Jones's Diary came before Chicago.
No, but then what about...
And then Edge of Reason afterwards.
Yes.
So she also
put on weight, lost weight. Yes.
Crazy. I've never seen her Oscar-winning performance in Cold Mountain.
I have.
Is it good?
It's really good.
Great.
She's amazing in Cold Mountain. I love Cold Mountain.
Really?
But for Renee, she's all like, yo, I'm going to take these rabbits out and shoot them with me. And she's like running around in the snow with her boots and like a big rifle on her shoulders.
Phenomenal. It's got Nicole Kim and Renee Zellweger and Natalie Portman in one film.
It's a huge film. I love like an American old timey, but even though I'm like, these people are all racist, I love The Patriot. It's one of my favorite movies.
The Patriot?
Yeah, with Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, but isn't like Jonathan Taylor Thomas or someone in it?
Heath Ledger's in it, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
You love The Patriot?
I love The Patriot. I wept watching The Patriot.
That cannot get out.
It's out.
Bad news.
Basically, it's public now.
I can't believe you liked any war movie.
Are you fucking kidding? I love a good war movie.
Really?
Yeah, I love being thrown into the...
I like Apocalypse Now. I like Full Metal Jacket.
My favorite piece, like the most like fundamental shift that turned me gay maybe, or like was like when I fell in love with theatre, was seeing a production of The Diary of Anne Frank. And it shook me. Like, I was a changed man. I had to leave the theatre before the ending of the play because I had to throw up outside the theatre because I just could not believe what was happening. And then the theatre gave us comps to go to the show again. So we went again for a second time.
Did you throw up again?
No, but I was sitting in the back row this time holding my parents' hands, being like, I don't know what's going to happen. They're like, spoiler alert, it's not pleasant. And then I became obsessed and I read the entire diary.
Which is amazing for
which
you.
Is so good.
That's
I never read any books. Literally, I read See Ya, Simon and The Diary of Anne Frank. And those were the two books I ever read. Oh, and Stuart Little. Before the movie, weirdly.
You've been reading books recently. Oh, we should do one about books.
I haven't read any books. I fell off the bandwagon again.
Oh.
I'm trying to be more lit. Like literate.
Oh, lit as in.
That's what lit means, eh?
No.
What?
That means I'm fire with books.
What movie turned you gay?
Okay, I feel like you're going to hear this and you're going to be like, of course. But I reckon a movie that strongly turned me gay was Tim Burton's Batman Returns.
Oh, yeah.
/ maybe Edward Scissorhands. Maybe these two movies together.
I hate that more than...
Batman Returns is so good. Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman
is hot.
My favorite film performance ever.
Is that a Poison Ivy one?
No, no, no. Poison Ivy's in Batman and Robin, which is terrible.
I love Batman and Robin.
Oh, Uma Thurman is bad as Poison Ivy, and I think she's a good actor.
But how hot is Robin?
Yeah, who he's pretty hot.
Who is Robin?
Chris O'Donnell. He then came back years later in Grey's Anatomy.
Yes!
As the vet.
He's got a good butt.
Yeah, and they have all those close-ups.
And his when family, a circus performance, and it starts very tragically, right?
Yes, very sad.
They get all shot.
When they get into their Batman
gun
costumes,
violence,
though,
right?
Oh.
Take the guns away. Then Robin would have had his family.
I mean, I think Two-Face would have been able to find guns somehow. Batman Returns has got Christopher Walken as well, who I think maybe could be he's such a campy performer.
Yeah.
And then Danny DeVito.
He's like an
old
style gentleman, eh?
Yeah,
he's
he is.
Like 1940s gentleman.
But then also Edward Scissorhands, because they live in like, I got really into like the kind of like pastel town, Stepford Wives. Like I loved that genre. American Beauty is kind of similar, like, you know, the
Trump's
kind of,
America.
Yeah, like American suburbia corruption.
Like Desperate Housewives, Wisteria Lane.
Ah, oh,
do you like Pleasantville?
I loved Pleasantville.
Ah, Jesse Metcalf.
That's what I say before I go to bed every night. Much.
I wake up in the morning. Yeah, Jesse Metcalf.
I love Pleasantville, and I brought it to a sleepover I had with my friends. We all brought videos, but we were quite like filmic. So the movies that we brought were The Exorcist,
great
American thing. Beauty. My friend picked American Beauty.
Can't watch that anymore.
I picked. I know. Fuck you, Kevin. I picked Pleasantville. Also, what happened to Thora Birch's career? I think she's very good.
Oh. No, she was on something. I've forgotten, but she was. What was she on recently? Tim, can you please search what Thora Birch has been
on?
Are
you sure you're not thinking of Christina Ricci? She's had been
I'm not thinking of fucking Christina.
I'm always thinking
of
Thora
Birch.
Okay. The other movie that we watched was Basketball, which was quite boysy, but I, you know.
Yeah. Oh, is that like a spoof film?
It's Matt and Trey Parker who make
that
South
film
Park.
Didn't turn anyone gay.
Turn me straight. what I was going to say about Pleasantville, oh, I just love it. Tobey Maguire, Reese Witherspoon, people in the black and white world turning to colour. Beautiful.
Thora Birch was in, I can't, oh, okay, maybe I've got this all wrong. Are you looking at, this is terrible podcast.
Do you know her parents were porn stars?
Thora Birch's
parents were a porn star couple.
That's why I think she's so in touch with her sexuality in that film.
Yeah.
And another actress who's really in touch with her sexuality is Winona Ryder. And I think she's maybe one of the most horniest actresses of all time. Like, no matter what scene it is, even if she's being held at a gunpoint, she's always a bit like, ooh. Like, she's so, like, yeah, she's just weirdly pet up in every film.
I mean, she's Abigail in The Crucible, and she's the ultimate Abigail as
she's,
well.
Yeah, she's so horny as Abigail in The
yes.
Crucible. Oh, Mr. Proctor. Oh.
And also, she's beautiful in Edward Scissorhands. I can't believe you hate this movie.
I haven't really seen it.
Oh, it's cute.
I was like, I didn't get it.
He builds ice sculpt. He keeps hurting people. He makes the waterbed explode.
Fuck Johnny Depp.
Yeah, Johnny Depp is the worst. And J.K. Rowling is officially on my naughty list.
What has she done?
She's including Johnny Depp in her film, even though, you know, he's in it.
Oh, and is she just been like,
wife.
All and the characters in Harry Potter, they're gay.
Yeah. Isn't she was like, Dumbledore's gay. And then they're like, by the way, he's not going to be gay in this movie. Because they're going back to, supposedly, Dumbledore was dating Grindelwald. Grindelwald's being played by Johnny Depp. And they had a rough breakup. And that's what turned them against each
Give
other.
Give me some gay wizard sex.
I know.
Come on.
Put a wand up a butt.
Do you reckon they've got like a spell that makes your like butthole release?
Yeah. Paparaliamus.
Amarillosa.
Amarillosa. It sounds like Omarosa.
I love The Birdcage. I rewatched it the other day and I was like, this is kind of fab.
It's beautiful.
Really well shot. Super styly.
It's just fun, and it feels like it's crazy that we got a film about supportive gay parents.
It's
before we got like a young gay romance, really.
I remember being like, I saw La Cage aux Folles, which is like the musical version of it.
Yes.
And
I am what I am.
Exactly. And was like, oh, I'm going to watch The Birdcage. After seeing that musical.
Yeah.
So I got really stoned one night and watched The Birdcage alone in my room. And I had to stop it because all I could read was like the sad subtext of the entire film, which is basically that this like poor father was like, oh, okay, so you want me to hide my sexuality. And I remember just being like, this is a heartbreaking film, even though it was all played for comedy.
Yeah.
So I had to stop it, but I rewatched it and it was fab. It was so
good.
It's
beautiful. Mm.
What was the first, like, gay film, like, intentionally queer film that you ever watched?
God, I really don't even know. It's hard to, like, Weekend was probably the first one that I actively sought out, which is pretty recent, right? I think Clueless was one of the first gay characters that I kind of knew was gay. I think I got...
I didn't know he was gay when I saw it.
Yeah, I think I was like, wait, why doesn't she end up with him? He's so cool. And then my sisters were like, this thing where...
You'll know.
You'll know.
You'll find out.
You'll find out. I think when you're that boy.
I think mine was, like, when I was out in Wellington and... someone was like, you need to watch Xavier Dolan's films.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, who? And he's like, he's French-Canadian, and he acts and directs them, and he's a fracking babe. And I remember, like, I think everyone loves his films. I mean, they are, like, great pieces of cinema, but mainly because he's a fucking fox. Like, he's so hot. Man. And the idea of, like, a sexy, smart French gay man is, like, literally... everything.
And he's been making films. He like turned 18 and then like directed a Rose first film.
Oh, and doesn't he know he directed Adele's music video. It's wild.
Hello. And his upcoming first English language movie has Natalie Portman, Jessica Chastain. I think Jessica Chastain got cut out of it actually.
Oh.
Yeah, it's got a killer cast. I can't wait.
Yeah. I saw what is it called? Heartbeats.
Oh yes.
And I Killed My Mother.
Yeah.
And also Mommy.
Cut this bit out and make it the
Mama Rosa.
Mama Rosa.
And I've loved all three of them, actually, to be honest.
They're very good films. But again, I don't know if they're films that I want to watch again.
I would probably watch Heartbeats again because it was like...
That's the threesome-y one, eh?
Mm-hmm. And it's like the blonde boy with the curly hair, and there's that scene with like popcorns falling down on him or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this is hot, hot, hot. And it has like some good, messy gay sex in it. Because fuck, like clean gay sex in cinema.
Oh.
When they like try and package it like fucking...
Like it's so easy.
Bells and whistles, heterosex. And you're like, no. Where is the lubricant? Where is like the shit on the sheets?
The shit on the sheets? Is that what you want out of your gay film?
No, but it happens. No, but it's like messy. Like sometimes it's like, it's not like we've just like, oh, we just did it by a fire. It's not this fucking notebook shit.
And the worst thing is when it's like people's first time bottoming and they're just like, cool.
Yeah, you're like, fuck off.
Yeah, you would be, no.
It's like, a great gay cinema scene would be like, they're going out for dinner and he's like, I'm just going to have a salad. And he's like, he's going to bottom tonight.
And the other guy's like, I'm having a coffee and a burrito. If they were making the gay biopic of your life.
Well, it would be gay.
If they're making the straight biopic of your life. What would be the scene they would play when whoever plays you gets nominated for the Oscar as Best Actor?
Good question.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be like where it's going, like for my future, you know. Like, well, I feel like the Oscar like scenes are always like, why can't you understand me? Like me screaming at Sally Field.
Yeah, playing your mum.
Playing my mum.
Doing a beautiful job.
Doing a beautiful
job. Best supporting actress nominee.
It's me being like, you just have to let me love you. Like that.
Yeah.
That's the scene. We're in Christchurch. The scene's set in Christchurch or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's like me. It's me in Christchurch like fighting a whole bunch of like racist skinheads.
Whoa.
You know, and then they're like, and then one of the skinheads like drops his like KKK jacket.
Wow.
Walks over and then like kisses me on the lips. And then I slap him across the face. But I'm like, you're welcome here, but never do that again. Scene.
Beautiful.
What's yours?
It's like someone's asking me out and I'm like, I really want it, but I'm like, I can't. I want to be with you so much, but it can't work. And then I walk away.
Sounds boring.
It's not good, is it?
I want tears.
It's a song. You know what? It's a musical. It's
not getting nominated for an Oscar.
Well, The Greatest Showman got a nomination
for best song.
Yeah.
You've made the La La Land of gay cinema.
Ryan Gosling got a nomination for Best Actor.
Yeah, for La La Land. Yeah. It sucks.
My movie is La La Land. It's about a guy trying to break up into the stand-up scene in this stunning song.
Let's just quickly wrap up with Love, Simon. A little debrief on that. A little review.
Love, Simon's so cute. It's a really good teen movie at its base level. It's got all the things you'd love about a teen movie. Funny teachers.
Mm.
Cool, diverse group of friends.
Yeah.
A great scene at a
I love a funny
match.
Teacher. I feel like I've seen a lot of that recently in cinema, and I'm all for it. Just teachers being like, I'm over this shit.
To be honest, it's a dream acting role, I reckon, to play a funny teacher in a teen film.
I kind of think Simon's a bit stodgy.
He's a bit, yeah. He's down the middle.
There's that great already out character.
Who's so sassy and
who's
fun.
So queer and amazing. And I'm like, why isn't the movie about that kid?
Yeah.
It was kind of my feeling a little bit. I did like, I mean, I love the sort of, I mean, it's a tween film. And I think if I watched that film when I was 14, I would have been like, I mean, scared and attacked.
Yeah.
But ultimately living for it.
I would have been like wanting someone to email my secrets.
Yes.
That
bit was cooked though for me. Like the straight guy who has...
Oh, who blackmails
it. Who blackmails it. And then he's like... I was like, this is really violent.
It's absolutely irredeemable.
Yeah, I'm like, that kid, expel him.
Yeah.
Like, he should not be at school.
The guy who plays Simon was in a Jurassic Park movie, and then he played this role.
So he's already won over your heart.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Have my dream career then.
I don't want to give any spoilers, but I love the boy that he ends up with.
Same, it's perfect.
It's perfect. And when it happened, I was like, thank God it's him.
People clapping in our cinema.
Yeah.
That's great.
Our cinema, the one that Eli and I own.
Yeah, we run it and we just show gay movies. The three we've seen.
The three we've seen.
Oh, and we don't watch them because we don't watch them.
We don't want to rewatch them. We only want to watch them once. God, it's so good to be back here.
Thanks for having us again in your ears and your hearts and your minds.
And in your butts. Wherever you're listening.
Oh, we're both coming to comedy festivals.
The New Zealand International Comedy Festival. We've both got shows on.
It's in May. You can go to comedyfestival.co.nz, search our names, and you'll find our shows. Chris's is called Camp Bitch.
Camp Bench.
Camp Bench. Oh, I'm
the
sorry.
The T's not there. Eli's is called an Inconvenient Proof.
It's an Inconvenient Poof. There's no R. Uh-huh. Mine's in Sydney too, if you live there.
I promoted your show when I was doing the Dunedin Fringe, and I was like, it was the first time I'd ever said the title out loud.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's an Inconvenient Poof. And I was like, poof? Poof?
It's an Inconvenient Poof.
Is it poof?
Yeah, like truth. Poof.
But you would say poof.
You would say poof, right? But I think poof is funnier.
An Inconvenient Poof.
Anyway, book tickets to our bloody shows.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase. It's the male gaze. They're both male.